This is a Common Ground Media and Noyo Radio Project / KNYO production. This is Dan Young and Ian Mays on location in New Orleans outside the Sounds Cafe. We're here with Brad Ott from the Ad Hoc Committee to Reopen Charity Hospital, and we're going to talk to him about this project and what's going on with that. So, Brad, I guess, could you tell our listeners, many of whom will be not in New Orleans, what is Charity Hospital and why do you want it reopened?
Thank you very much.
Charity Hospital is, its formal name is the Reverend Avery C. Alexander Charity Hospital. Before Katrina, it was America's second oldest public hospital after Bellevue in New York. It served almost half a million people in outpatient and trauma care. It was the main trauma hospital for the entire metropolitan New Orleans region. It was a level one trauma center in that it had all specialties available 24 hours a day and was the only hospital in South Louisiana to provide that. Primarily, our push to try and get Charity Hospital reopened is to be able to restore the services. The outpatient, they had more than 150 outpatient clinics. They have now only returned 26 to the city. And a lot of the clinics that are only available once a week, and very limited numbers of service. Basically, right after the storm on August 29th, 2005, the medical staff of Charity, its emergency department, along with the U.S. military, cleaned out the hospital. They cleared all 21 floors of perishable refuse. Its basement did flood when the city's levees broke, but German engineers were brought in and they drained the basement of floodwaters. The switches were indeed downstairs, the electrical switches. But 3 years before, the state, in anticipation of flooding, actually had alternate rerouting switches on the third floor, and they reconnected those and had electricity in the building when it was ready to reopen in late September of 2005. Additionally, sanitation was reconnected, and chilled air, there's a major chilled air facility on site that provides air conditioning to not only Charity but to the Charity School of Nursing and to the whole LSU medical complex, including their interim university hospital located four blocks away, and that's operating now. So there was a lot of misconceptions about this quote old aging decrepit hospital. It certainly has had its whole share of neglect, but there are whole floors on that hospital that were totally renovated, but then were sealed off to most of the population. And so there was this attempt to reopen it, but LSU officials, by the way, for people, there's two things I should say in addition. Charity hospitals in most of the country have county hospitals that take care of the poor and uninsured. In Louisiana, there are a few parish-run hospitals, but for the most part, the state's tax structure and the way poverty is unfolds in Louisiana makes it imperative that the state provide care. And since the 1930s, through the New Deal era and the Huey Long era, the state has had a vested interest in keeping charity hospitals open across the state. And actually, there are 10 charity hospitals operating throughout Louisiana. We're the only state in the country that has facilities of this kind in a comprehensive network of care. And basically, these hospitals are the safety net, are the infinite safety net. They're open to anybody who has income of up to 200% of the poverty line for free. with the means testing and such that they do. But basically, you can do that. You know, and so that's part of the crucial area about these hospitals, that it's really our safety net system, and Louisiana has amongst the highest uninsured rates in the country. It's about 25% of the populace, and if you figure that Medicaid, it's very hard to get a hold of Medicaid. You literally have to be younger than 18, older than 64. And or be disabled in order to qualify for Medicaid. I know myself, I had a stroke 4 years ago, and I had no income for 2.5 years. But since my stroke wasn't debilitating enough, I didn't qualify for Medicaid. So in Louisiana, every state has their different rules. And so as a result, the charity system is the only venue for me and a lot of other uninsured people.
Thank you. So I guess the next thing I wanted to ask was, it was about your personal background and why you were involved in this, how and why you came to be involved in this struggle to reopen Charity Hospital.
Well, primarily it was born out of my own experience. I sat too long on a trip 4 years ago and developed a deep vein thrombosis, a leg clot. And I didn't know it at the time, but I also had a hole in my heart that it's congenital that I had from birth. And in fact, actually about 10 to 15% of the populace has holes in their hearts, because before you're born, you have a hole in your womb in order to allow in your heart in order to breathe in the womb. But it usually closes. In my case, it didn't, and it helped facilitate the stroke. And so when the clot broke free, basically it went up to my brain and affected my whole right side. And I was able to get into Charity in time within a off-noted 3-hour stroke window of reversibility, where most of my feeling came back, and you know, I still have some residual issues, but for the most part, I'm pretty damn lucky. And I have a monthly clinic that I have to go to, for a year and a half after Katrina, really almost 2 years after Katrina, I went to the ER to get blood work done because the clinic was not open. I had been a community activist for many years before my stroke, and when I was hospitalized, at that time, Charity had just suffered, the system had suffered $66 million in cuts. LSU, Louisiana State University Healthcare Services Division, runs the charity system. They have run the system since 1997. And administratively, they've undergone various incarnations since, such that the northern hospitals are run by the LSU Shreveport system, and the southern part of the state are run by LSU Healthcare Services Division, which is based in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge. And basically, there was a bill passed in the legislature at that time which allowed LSU to cut a budget up to 30% without legislative approval. And so that's where that $66 million cut came out of. And I knew it. When I was hospitalized right away, given the severity of my situation. But once they shot me with blood thinners, I was out in the hall for a day and a half until I could get up to the intensive care, because they had no beds, because so many wards were closed at that time. And so I learned kind of firsthand what happened and vowed to make it an issue to support care in the charity system. And for 2 years afterwards, I lobbied it as a citizen in the legislature to make sure that Charity received no more cuts. We had a group known as Advocates for Louisiana Public Health Care, which we fought this law and unsuccessfully. And as it turns out now, it's a good thing, because there is a provision in the law that says that in order to close a hospital, LSU must get permission of the legislature, and they've never done so. So we are proceeding to legally challenge this matter. We haven't filed a suit yet, but we've been bringing it up at every turn and have been pushing. The legislature passed a bill and such, and we've had a whole long struggle on this issue.
So I understand that at some point since the storm, a group of doctors and nurses, I heard, went into the building and started cleaning it up and then were driven out by the police or the Public Health Administration. Can you tell the story of that?
Yeah, actually, let's see. Okay, Katrina happened August 29th, 2005. On September 4th, the U.S. military, including the Oklahoma National Guard, the Alabama National Guard, and I think Arkansas National Guard, came and rescued the staff and the patients. Then in kind of a cooperative endeavor agreement that was transacted on the spot, the emergency department, basically with the National Guard said, let's clean out the hospital. And so over the course of about a month, in 2005 through September, they were able to stabilize the facility and get its first three floors, including its emergency department, its outpatient clinics on the second floor, and the third floor psychiatric crisis intervention unit, which is still closed. And I mean, the whole facility is still closed, but the state has not replaced the crisis intervention unit, and that really has been the major loss. Dr. James Moises, who was one of those doctors who cleaned out the hospital, now is with Tulane. He's actually heads up their emergency department at Tulane Medical Center now. He and his colleagues were threatened with trespassing if they didn't exit the building. And so then the state, basically LSU, I mean, you know, insofar as the police forcing them out, actually, as I understood it, the New Orleans Police Department was very supportive of charity reopening. And actually, to this day, the crisis intervention, the crisis team of the police department and the crisis SWAT negotiation team members, they were with us in a press conference almost a month ago demanding that charity be reopened. The police really have to deal with the mental health crisis on the front lines all the time. You know, they pick up people on the street. They're picking up an average of 200 people a month. And in order to stabilize them, they have to bring them to a hospital. They're mandated by law to bring them to a hospital and determine whether they're psychiatric cases or whether they're just on drugs or whether they're just being incorrigible and look like they're on drugs, but they're not. But in the past, they could bring them to charity hospital, be received by hospital police, and basically the police, the New Orleans police, could be on their way. Now they're having to go to all these facilities which are not equipped. They don't have the staff that's professionally trained in psychiatric care. It imperils the medical staff of these other hospitals, and the police have to remain with them for hours on end, furtherly limiting the effectiveness of the police department. So this has been one of the big scandals connected with all this. And charity, but the state had control over the hospital, and so they forced people out. I could tell a little more about the story about how I learned about it and stuff, but you can tell me more.
How you learned about what?
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't an instant. I mean, the doctors and nurses that worked at charity, I mean, they did this while the city was mostly empty of its residents. And In fact, they had started, I guess, like in early September, and then, of course, Hurricane Rita came on, I guess, the 25th of September, 24th, I guess. But they still tried to keep going, even though the city was emptied pretty much of its last residents by that point, unless people were really hiding out, because the national, I know friends of mine who stayed through that time really just had to take cover because the National Guard was going door to door, and the Blackwater security people particularly were going door to door and trying to get people out of the city. And when I came back on October 1st, because I had the good fortune that one of my, I lived in the 20% of the city that didn't flood, and I had some roof damage, but really didn't, it's not comparable to flood damage at all. I was very lucky and was able to come back, and I actually went to try to get medical care, because it'd been, when I left for Katrina, I had just had my blood appointment just days before Katrina, so, and then my levels were good, and so I was able to go by without 5 weeks of care. And I came back to the city and I said, well, try to go to Charity, and Charity was cordoned off. I didn't know whether Charity was destroyed or whatever. I didn't know anything about it. And then I went up. They had a Navy hospital ship actually just up the road here by the cafe here, and they then referred me to Touro Infirmary. And later I learned I could get my medication from this tent unit that Charity had turned into. Tents in a parking lot. Of course, unbeknownst to me, they had a hospital ready to reopen with electricity and everything. I didn't learn that until the Martin Luther King Day parade in early 06, when a group of Tulane residents who were part of the clean out of the hospital were demanding that people pay attention. And at that point I was introduced to them, and we sort of at that point started a more public movement outside the hospital workers, because the hospital workers I think tried very hard to do this. And in fact, the New York Times in December of 05 did a story about the doctors being against the state and trying to reopen Charity, and that sort of broke the story open nationally, even though locally it wasn't until this year that our local paper printed the story, because, you know, the Times, in my estimation, the Times-Picayune has been part and parcel wanting to keep this place shut. We had a press conference, as I mentioned, about a month ago, and they suppressed it. And we know that because actually their staffers called us and told us that they weren't allowed to cover the report. They said that the editorial folks said that they had enough, you've had enough press. And I says, well, you've never reported that the New Orleans Police Department has called for the reopening of Charity. You've never reported that criminal court judges who run mental health court call for the reopening of Charity Hospital. You know, I mean, this is just kind of incredible that, and then of course we've had a further struggle where the city council's actually on record in wanting to reopen the hospital, and you know, there's kind of more stuff that's kind of connected with that, that they have done such to bring it where we are now.
So what, if any, official plan does the state have for providing any of this health care that Charity Hospital used to provide in the city of New Orleans?
We're trying to keep from laughing. Literally laughing to keep from crying, you know. Because you know, it's, the state has been woefully inadequate. The state is really, I believe, has used Hurricane Katrina to exit care for the uninsured and the poor. In documents that I found before in earlier this year and late last year, the state basically portended its desire to end this care. They had said that LSU may not be wanting to continue with mental health care, for example. They divide up mental health care with the Office of Mental Health through the Department of Health and Hospitals. But despite its name, Department of Health and Hospitals actually hadn't run hospitals since 1997, because that's where LSU is run the hospitals. So they have made no secret about wanting to get out of this kind of social commitment. And in fact, following the 2006 legislative session, there was created this healthcare redesign collaborative. It was a scheme really to redesign the health system in New Orleans, made up of statewide bureaucrats and private industry people, insurance. Its second in command was head of Blue Cross Blue Shield, Gary Berry. And they basically fomented this whole system of public subsidy of private insurance products for the poor and uninsured. And this was fueled in part by an order from Michael Levitt, who's George Bush's Secretary of Health and Human Services. And basically they wrote out this whole thing that basically said they had to move to this kind of private-public system away from Charity Hospital. And on several occasions, Mr. Levitt has said that thanks to the flagship of the charity system being closed, we can have this opportunity to reform healthcare in Louisiana. And fortunately, that whole thing did not come to pass as of yet. I fear that maybe under the new governor it may, but of course the old governor has been pretty bad herself, so in keeping charity closed. But the rural legislators particularly sought and won the limitation of this healthcare redesign collaborative to just be for New Orleans, what they call Region 1, Orleans, St. Bernard, Jefferson, and Plaquemines parishes. Therefore, they weren't, quote, reforming the rest of the state. The rural legislators are also big supporters of the charity system, even if they have varying degrees of support or not of keeping big charity open. A lot of their leadership, in fact, was pretty hostile to the idea of reopening Charity Hospital. I was to learn later that part of the hostility was that when charity was closed, big charity in New Orleans, a lot of the rural hospitals picked up a lot of their specialty clinics. And so, for example, at Lolly Kemp Charity Hospital in Independence, Louisiana, that's the center of cancer care in the state. And Chaubert and Homa is the center of heart care in the state. And so they, a lot of these rural facilities, which had been very woefully neglected for many years, even the state charity ones, they had picked up a lot of the specialty clinics that used to be a big charity in New Orleans. And so as a result, it's a twofold process. It's either people who are in New Orleans have to travel far and wide to go to these clinics. For a year, I was going to the cardiology clinic at Earl K. Long in Baton Rouge, getting very little care, frankly. But I know friends that travel to other parts of the state for care. And likewise, there are people who cannot come back to the city, even with their homes being able to be repaired or having to pay a mortgage here on a damaged home, because their medical care is elsewhere. And they obviously don't have insurance. And so that's part of the scandal with this, is that the state has really tried to exit. I guess in terms of maybe your listeners might understand, this is part of a neoliberal agenda. Neoliberalism is sort of a throwback to what liberalism was originally, which was provision of care and social needs for poor people, but do so through private means, do so through market forces. And of course there was a big shift against that in the 1930s in the U.S. with the New Deal, and of course it was really big in Louisiana because in the 1920s, in late 20s, Huey Long was elected and, of course, made a big push for state control of facilities and provision of health care and other services, turning a very backward southern state into a model system such that we were the model for Social Security and Medicare. We had our own form of Medicare here in Louisiana 30 years before the rest of the country. It's kind of hard to believe now, given how decrepit we are now, but that Louisiana really was the leader in a lot of this care. And but because of neglect in recent years and privatization efforts, we're really on shoestrings now.
So with Charity Hospital, I've read and I've then heard personal stories from people about some really awful experiences at Charity Hospital in terms of the level of care and the treatment they received there. And I mean, it sounds like your experience of after having a stroke and spending a day and a half in a chair in a hallway. What in the to the point where people are like, well, why reopen that place? It was so awful, and I didn't receive helpful care there at all. How would you address that in the committee to reopen Charity?
Well, first off, how many of those folks were admitted to private facilities? I mean, that's part of the struggle here. And actually, that's part of the struggle that later this weekend we're going to be dealing with the Sicko Roadshow Tour people. We lack national health care. We lack single-payer support where people can just go into any hospital and get the care they need. And in Louisiana, private hospitals have been woefully neglectful of the poor and uninsured and have been. And in fact, for a long time, the private hospitals abetted this whole situation. So the, quote, two-tier system that they speak of was fueled by them. And so, yet out of that, Charity Hospital, which, as I said at the beginning, was the second oldest hospital in America, in fact, was founded in 1736 here in New Orleans. The Daughters of Charity, Ursuline nuns, founded it and really was their private hospital of the Ursuline order until about the 1920s when the state started getting involved with care. And then certainly by the 1930s, the state really got involved with providing substantial support for the facilities, although it should be noted that the Ursuline nuns had run the Charity School of Nursing really up until like about the 1960s, and still had major, their order still has major advisory responsibilities of big charity in New Orleans. Of course, a lot of the hospitals, state hospitals, used to be formerly known as Charity, and that name has been deliberately erased on a lot of them, such that now there are only two that have that name, Earl K. Long in Baton Rouge, of course, Charity Hospital in New Orleans. As one of the rural legislators said, Joe McPherson, who's a state senator and heads up the Health and Welfare Committee, in his book, in the Bible, charity was supposed to be a good thing. And I think, you know, there is a issue that certainly activists need to confront, and as we're rebuilding New Orleans, you know, sort of like the slogan, which I think is a good one, is solidarity, not charity. But we have to honestly look at what that means in terms of both reopening this hospital and telling people to go to other facilities. Because often at these other facilities, even with people with Medicaid who might have an entry to these private hospitals, they've been turned away or have not been able to get the follow-up care. I myself have been denied twice surgeries that I said that I need to close the hole in my heart from private hospitals because I lack health insurance. And so here it is. The door is really closed. So this is not even... this is addressing the admission issue, not even going into whether a person has had a bad experience at Charity Hospital. I mean, Charity Hospital, if you looked at their numbers, with almost a 500,000 admissions in the year before Katrina, you can bet they're going to have problems and people who had bad experiences. And myself, I realized that my experience was primarily due to the budget cuts. It wasn't due to the medical staff. The medical staff was extraordinary. Part of the thing with LSU running the hospitals, which I have agreed with, is that it could enhance their medical school capabilities. And the irony is that the LSU Medical School was created in 1930, I think, or 35, 1935, actually, by Huey Long in order to supply more doctors and nurses for charity hospitals. And that's their whole reason for being. So it's terribly ironic now that they're proceeding to close the very institution that it created them. And, of course, part of their effort is they want to look, well, the best quote of that is Charles Ziwe, who speaks for LSU system. He has said, "We want to move from a charity hospital matrix to a university teaching hospital matrix." And ironically, before the storm, I supported that move. I supported the move for a new hospital and a replacement hospital. I felt like university care, from what I had experienced of it, was actually had some more benefits. You know, they had the LSU Dental School here, and it's extraordinarily inexpensive to go there and get care. But there's also, since the storm, we've had to realize that there's been a whole dynamic of healthcare that we've had to re-question everything. If they've wanted to keep closed what they called a decrepit hospital and yet force us into tents in parking lots and the convention center just a couple months after all those people were abandoned at the convention center, we were brought over there. That's where the hospital was at one point, at the convention center. And then we ended up in a flooded shopping center right next to the Superdome. And in fact, that unit is still open for services, that shopping center. And here it is. We have this great facility that did not receive water above its basement and is cleaned out and ready to reopen and do so on an interim basis. And it is not only this modest committee saying this, it's also the New Orleans City Council on two occasions took a stance to demand to reopen Charity Hospital. They asked the Attorney General of Louisiana, Charles Foti, to rule on a state law, Act 906, which demands that LSU get permission from the legislature to reopen a hospital. Charles Foti ruled that, in fact, LSU must get permission. Then the state legislature, its first act post-storm, post-2005, in the 2006 session, they passed a resolution, House Concurrent Resolution 89, which demanded that Big Charity be reopened and that an independent evaluation inspection happen. To date, the state hasn't allowed for that. And so we're at this crisis, and we blame the federal government for a lot of it. You know, the federal levies broke things, and everybody knows the inadequate and woeful neglect that the federal government has caused on New Orleans. But we have our own state government to contend with, which is also abandoning New Orleans, and in the healthcare arena is doing worse because they could actually reopen facilities, they could actually get care back up and running, but they have been wanting to use Hurricane Katrina as a way to redesign the health system in the absence of most patients, and of course the workers, any workers that want to stay with the charity system to work, they are now under gag orders. And those few who have left, like Dr. Moises, he quit his job and went on to Tulane. You know, he did so knowing that if he spoke out publicly, he would lose his privileges at LSU. And so this is the sad state of affairs.
Well, thank you so much, Brad. I guess, did you have any questions, Ian?
Hi, this is Ian Mays. I'm interviewing along with Dan here. And so I guess one question, could you say a bit about what your committee is doing and what people can do to work together with you on this?
Yeah, thanks a lot. We, the committee to reopen Charity Hospital, it came out of really the discovery that the hospital could have been reopened. We first started as a health committee of the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. And we ended up, partly because our old group, Advocates for Louisiana Public Healthcare, most of our members were patients or old staff. And so most of the medical staff, in fact, our president, Freddie Monroe, is a nurse at Charity, was laid off. 3,000 people were laid off from Charity, by the way. And him and his family are in Los Angeles and in the Survival Council in Los Angeles now, and has just been unable to get back to the city on a permanent basis. So we started through the committee. We worked through the city council and got the lobbied for the legislation to happen on the state level. There was sort of a dispiriting time in the summer of 06 when that healthcare redesign thing happened, and most people really felt like that was a waste of time. And I was there mainly as the elephant in the room, because really I was about the only one of the committee at that time who was present for those things. And but we did have a revival in early 07 with some students from local universities and also public housing advocates and residents who realized that in order for them to come back to the city, they need healthcare and other services in addition to just being able to go back to their homes that have been shuttered. And I'm sure if you haven't already, you will be talking with the public housing people, because they're talking about a terrible injustice of keeping public housing shut, mostly survived a storm unscathed and much better than the private housing that's been afforded. And so they have been with us in the struggle. And so our committee has had forums, has demanded actions and such, and we've had press conferences. And basically we're at the point now, it took over a year to try and get legal lawyers. I mean, part of this is, you know, Louisiana State University, it's such a juggernaut in Louisiana, you know. Who wants to go against the juggernaut, you know? And I have a lot of, you know, questions about it myself, because I'm a student in the University of New Orleans, which is part of the LSU system, and its doctors and such saved my life. So I have some potential issues there, but nevertheless, they're the overseers of Charity Hospital. They should be the ones to open it up on an interim basis if need be, just to get us care now, because we're in such a desperate situation. We're in arguably the worst urban health crisis since the San Francisco earthquake in 06, of 1906. Here we are, 2007, and we got people living on the street, and health conditions are just going from bad to worse. The city's health department determined that a good chunk of the deaths happened because of closed facilities. There's been the papers have been rife with a lot of reports. Even the Times-Picayune has not been able to ignore its own staffers having mental breakdowns, and we just got such a calamity. And you know, there has been some, I do want to put out a shout out though to folks like Common Ground, Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic, a number of other groups who've, you know, Common Ground was the first health clinic in the city that came back. Folks came back and did healthcare, and it's kind of amazing to look at a major city of 1.2 million people in the metro area, and we're held together by little baling wire and volunteer efforts and a very limited state presence here, and private hospitals which have said that they're on the verge of collapse, because here the state has been charged with caring for people, and they're given this disproportionate support to do so. They haven't been doing it. And so that's a major scandal. And, of course, what we run the risk of is if they fail to step up to the plate, then that support will shift to the private providers, and then we won't have any system at all. They won't have their new hospital. We won't even have our old one back. And we'll end up, frankly, like much of the rest of America, with people going into debt and being out on the street because they can't afford health care.
So a theme that's running through these different interviews that we have here is rebuilding New Orleans in a just and sustainable way. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts about how that can be done.
We got to welcome our people back. All the original people who lived here must be welcomed back. Frankly, I don't recognize the city. You know, the buildings look a lot the same. You even go out to the flooded areas and, you know, we weren't hit with the eye of the storm. You know, other than the lower ninth ward, most of the buildings, shells, are still here. It's like a neutron bomb happened and it got rid of the people but didn't get rid of the buildings. And, you know, I certainly welcome people coming here to live here. A lot of good people have come, have seen this as a real reconstruction potential. You know, New Orleans is a port city and has always welcomed people from elsewhere, and I do too. But our original residents, numbering upwards of 300,000 and 400,000 people, are still displaced in other places, and they can't come back home, and they want to. And part of that is opening up public services, public housing, which isn't just bricks in buildings. It's also a methodology of housing where they pay according to their percentage of income. Just as much, they pay just as much as people who own houses, if not more. I think it was like 33% of their income. That's higher than a lot of people who own houses. Then there's public schools. You know, our public school system has been carved up into 4 and 5 different entities, charter schools. And some of them might be good, but a lot of them are not. And it's disenfranchised. They laid off 8,000 teachers who were certified teachers. It's just gross lies that the privatizers have put out there that somehow these teachers weren't certified. It was their agencies that certified them. And here they are, you know, laid off and hired back without the kind of supports that they deserve as public workers. And then, of course, public hospitals and public health care. We have the opportunity to really reposition the city in a good way and provide health care for small businesses. You know, I had worked at a small business right before my stroke. I drove a French pastry truck. And at one point, my boss, one of our coworkers, was sick a few years before. And we had no insurance. We didn't have insurance for the employees. And he asked, well, go out and price what insurance costs. And I went out and priced what it cost for 17 workers. And I said to my boss, your profit would disappear in a good year. You wouldn't be able to afford it. You'd do better to support the individual worker with sick pay and have them go under their income guidelines to the state charity system. And so that employer promptly did that. But that's what all small businesses across the board, and we're the backbone of the state here is small businesses, and they can't afford to pay these insurance premiums. And that's part of certainly our latest action is supporting this road tour of Sicko, Michael Moore's movie, where they're going around the country promoting this congressional bill, House Bill 676. John Conyers of Michigan is the sponsor, and this with a lot of co-sponsors, and it's basically calling for single-payer universal health care to be implemented in the U.S. You know, we're the only major country in the world, Western country in the world, without health care for its citizens. And even countries like Cuba and Venezuela have better health care per capita than we do. And they're much, much less wealthy than we are. It's just a criminal act that we don't have the care for our citizens and our residents. And, you know, in New Orleans, of course, we've had a lot of new people come in who've been brought in, immigrants. And if they even get paid for their service, they still don't have health care. They're still left with nowhere to go. And because they don't have the papers, they even have less choices than even, quote, citizens. And so this is a national scandal, and it's happening right in the borders of our country. And there's some who have said, oh, Louisiana's different and all that. Well, we're the net importer of a third of the oil supply for the rest of the country. And we provide 50% of the fisheries and seafood for the country. And there's lots of things that we offer. And yet, and I think we've gotten a lot of support from the rest of the country, but it needs to be reminded that a lot of the privatizations efforts, a lot of the really things that are going to be hoisted on the rest of the country, they're getting a start right here in New Orleans. And it's a terrible injustice, and we need to fight it.